Well, let's check in with CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray this morning as it was a closed practice yesterday, but we learned a heck of a lot. Good morning, Britton. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Closed practice. Your day was far easier than mine, I would think.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure of that. But man, we learned a lot out of this one here, didn't we? And first and foremost, what everyone has been talking about after a lot of games is Brett Lawther. Should he be replaced? Well, he is going to have to be because he's got a bad back right now. So what's the very latest here?
Yeah, he's dealing with a back injury, and that's led him to being out this week, which means we are going to see Campbell Fair. And now the interesting thing is going to be what happens after this week. Yes, Campbell Fair makes a CFL debut. If he goes 4-for-4 with a 50-plus yarder, do you take him out next week? Do you put Brett Lawther back in? That's the interesting thing that this coaching staff will have to do if Campbell Fair does indeed go out and have a good game right now, because Brett Lawther has not been up to standard this season. He will tell you that. The coaching staff will tell you that. So an interesting possible few weeks here.
Tell you what, you make a really good point there. And you do almost every day of your life, I know. But I will give you this, Britton. You make a good point. 4-for-4, and if at least a couple or 50 yards out, and he makes them all, that says a heck of a lot. If he goes, maybe 2-for-4, and we're right back where we started. I think that's the litmus test. He's got to go and get every one of those, and some of them got to be from a lengthy process.
Exactly. Right now with Campbell Fair, plus we don't know what he does when it's clutch kick time, right? Brett Lawther for years has been one of the clutchest kickers in the CFL under 3 minutes. So at least you know that, and you know what Brett Lawther has done in the past. Yes, he struggled, but it's one of those, would you rather go with the complete unknown or at least the thing that you do know that's just a little bit off this year? So that's why I think if Campbell Fair were to go out and struggle, I think this team would have no issue going back to Brett Lawther because he's been around so long and it's who this team feels comfortable having out there.
And why not? I love Brett Lawther. It pains me if I sound like I'm talking smack about him. It's not meant to be smack. It literally is what's best for the team. And you're right. If Campbell goes out, has a great game, and then stumbles down the road, I'd have no problem looking towards the bench and saying, okay, Brett Lawther, you're returning. I think that would be a good mix. So it is the litmus test is about to happen here. And he's had a big kick there, hasn't he? He played for the GGs. Didn't he have a huge kick there at one point in Ottawa?
He did a game winner. I think it was 55 yards out. He has a leg to him. Campbell Fair can absolutely kick some long field goals. But at U Sports level, what happens when the pressure's on at the pros, right? What happens when 10 seconds left and you have to hit a 52-yarder for the win? He hasn't done that yet. This is going to be his first CFL game. So there are more unknowns with Campbell Fair, despite the fact Brett Lawther struggled this year. But at the same time, it feels like a move has to be made if Campbell Fair goes out and kicks the heck out of that ball this weekend.
You got her. All right, Rider reporter Britton Gray. Let's talk about our buddy Tommy Stevens. I love this guy. Quarterback, he's out. Who goes in then? Do you count on Ouellette more?
Yeah, I think they'll run that package where A.J. Ouellette just takes a direct snap from the center there. Jack Cohn, not really used as a short yardage guy. Jake Mayer did some short yardage when he first started in the CFL, and so at least he had some experience there. But I would imagine they just run that A.J. Ouellette package. Though one of the things that is a positive when you do have a quarterback out there is that you do open up the chance that you could throw it on short yardage and stuff like that. So, but I just don't think that this team has the they signed Tommy Stevens to be the short yardage quarterback, right? And he's really good at it. So without him this week, I think they run Ouellette, and hopefully this knee injury to Tommy Stevens doesn't keep him out for too long.
All right, let's end with quarterback Trevor Harris, who the last game, a lot of people, including yourself, I thought, commented on, you know what, he was a little off. Maybe he needs a little rest. What are your thoughts about either resting him or at the very least playing him less in a game in the next few?
I don't think you do that until they clinch first place. Trevor Harris is still the best option for this team to win. He's the leader, both emotionally and just in that huddle on offense. And he was asked about his arm and how he's been feeling right now. And he admitted for a few weeks wasn't feeling great, but he's feeling the best he has right now. And we'll see if that translates onto the field and what we kind of see against the struggling Ottawa Redblacks team, right? But I think you have to wait until you at least clinch first place before you sit Trevor Harris. But I do think that a rest here, if they do clinch first, would be good for this team to get him ready for the playoff run here.
Awesome. Thanks for the chat, buddy. Britton Gray, appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME newsroom. And Kevin, yesterday, not once but twice, I saw those little mini flags that people attach to their vehicles and whip around town, and they were Blue Jays.
Oh, flags. Right. Yes, yes.
Everyone's in, it seems, in this city here but you, because you're a Mariners fan.
And we'll find out tonight, Greg, who the Blue Jays will play. Of course, the Yankees won last night over the Red Sox. And now it
best
is
of three tie.
Third and deciding game tonight. Yeah, that series is tied at one. So we'll know after tonight. It's been a pretty close series. Watch the last couple games.
Yeah.
And we'll have a better idea.
Okay, we'll wait. That series will start up on Saturday for the Jays. Rider playoff tickets are on sale right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And even though we don't know where the Riders are going to finish in the standings, of course, right now they are in first. And so if they stay in first, they'll be hosting the West Final at Mosaic Stadium on November the 8th. If they somehow can't hang on to the first place position, then they could host the West Semifinal. That would happen November 1st. And for some reason, Greg, if they continue their losing ways and they finish, well, not in first or second in the West, then fans would get
reimbursed.
Free refund.
And you know, ticket prices are pretty fair. I just looked on Ticketmaster, if you were to sit on the lower bowl on the side, give or take fees and all that, they're, you know, about $125 or so.
Playoff football, man.
Yeah, like, so that's not a bad price. There's some good prices there. Stateside, they're shut down. The talks at a standstill. The Democrats holding out to restore health care cuts. Republicans say, fund the government first, then we can talk. It's just back and forth, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't look like, well, at least for now, this is going to be resolved anytime soon. As we've been talking about, the last shutdown 7 years ago lasted 35 days. We're hearing that some national parks are being closed. There's a few stories this morning about how tourists were trying to get into some parks in Florida. They talked to one guy and yeah, he couldn't get in because
it's going to be attractions. Yeah, that are federal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be different, probably different places. So if you are planning a trip down there, as we've been telling you as well, I mean, be prepared for some delays at border, whether you're flying, whether you're driving. And then, yeah, if you had planned to go to a tourist attraction with the family or just yourself, whatever, it might not be open.
Well, they even say like a lot of the TSA agents that work in the airports there in the U.S. and air traffic controllers, they're being forced to work without pay right now. And the last time we had a shutdown, as you mentioned, it went on over a month. A lot of them just called in sick. So then you got less people working, and that led to airline delays.
Well, and, you know, you're hearing another story we have in the newscast coming up where two Delta planes just hit in New York last night. And aren't we hearing more of these? And when it comes to air traffic controllers, what kind of part of are they playing? Why do we? I mean, in this case, it was a low speed collision. Is how the
airline
is describing it. Yeah, a wing hit a fuselage of one plane to another, and so it's one of those things where is this getting worse? And what kind of impact will this shutdown have on airports?
Okay, well, we might end with perhaps even more important news tonight. It drops Taylor Swift, the whole new album, Midnight, across the hall at Z99. Where our coworkers work. They're playing the whole album at midnight tonight. And worldwide, it's going to be released like that.
Taylor Swift is arguably right now the person, the most popular artist in the world. I feel like that would be a fair argument to make for people. So this is going to be one of the major release studio album releases of the entire year. And I mean, with Taylor Swift, we know just how popular she is with her Eras concert. And so this is going to be
major. Well, I just hope you nap this afternoon because I don't want you coming in really sleepy tomorrow after staying up.
I got to watch ball. I got to watch more ball, Greg.
You're going to be sleepy tomorrow then. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom at 657. Well, this is a weekend coming up. There's a huge party in town at 1727 St. John Street. It's where you find the German Club and my next guest, Kerry Van Loosen, who is getting set for the big Oktoberfest celebration Friday and Saturday. Kerry, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Kerry, what is the lore, the legend of Oktoberfest? Why is it such a big celebration?
Oh, it's centuries old already. It was based on a wedding, and then obviously these people have long passed, so they've turned it into more of a harvest, reason to celebrate harvest, and it's so much fun. It's a party. It's a great celebration, and the traditions just keep on growing.
So how will the traditions grow this weekend at the German Club?
Well, we're going to start off with Friday. It was Auftakt. It's our kickoff meal. That is sold out. It always sells out in advance. However, following that is the Ms. and Mr. Oktoberfest contest starting at 9 p.m. Anybody can come down to compete. It's just a fun, amazing time. We have people elbowing each other to get in on this. And if you do win and get crowned the Ms. or the Mr., you get to be our VIP leading into Saturday's main event.
So Saturday then, explain how that day will unfold.
Well, we start off at 2 p.m. with our Kinderfest. It's our family portion. It's free to attend. We'll have a petting zoo there. In Germany, things are more like a carnival, so there will be rides and such like that. Obviously, we can't do that, but we do have activities. There's balloon making and face painting and crafts and performances and obviously food and treats. Our coffee stube is downstairs with a bunch of homemade torten. It's a fun time. And then by about 5:30, we slowly start to shut it down and transition into the evening portion, which is the big main event. We open the doors for that at 6 p.m. This year we have changed it. It is rush seating only, so there was no advance ticket aside from our sponsorship tables that were sold. First come, first serve. Try to get there for 6, and then we do our cake tapping ceremony with the Grand March in and our delegates and such at 7, and then the rest of the night is party with live music with Cornerstone Band. We have our Volus Lederpacket Schuplattlerein perform. We have a yodeler in from Manitoba. There's obviously food. Some different evening menus come out. We're bringing back the Holz Paddle, which is the flights of sampling beer. Most of our beer is authentic German imported beer. Yeah, it's just a great time. And
yeah, it doesn't sound like there's much going on Saturday.
Not at all.
Kerry Van Loosen from the German Club. Now, what's the ultimate Oktoberfest survival tip on that Saturday night besides drinking water between beer steins?
Drink water, but also dance. Get up and dance. Burn it off. Be prepared to get to know your neighbor at the table beside you because it's crammed in and it's all about Gemütlichkeit, like friendly fellowship. You just want to meet people cheering, get up and boogie.
So what's the most outrageous thing you've seen at the German Club worn at Oktoberfest?
Like, we do have people come as authentic as they can, but in the case that they can't get themselves a lederhosen outfit or a dirndl, I have seen them go to the Halloween shop. The ladies, anyways, get quite creative with some of the costumes there that come out. Like, honestly, people just have a good time. They make up their own kind of outfits, and it's cute to see. We're not offended. We love that they're trying. Yeah, you have to come and check it out.
So Friday evening, and then Saturday, the kids stuff, family stuff through the afternoon. And then it's all adults on Saturday night. At what time?
You want to get there by 6. The doors open at 6, and the program starts at 7. So you have an hour to get there, get your spot. We encourage you to, you know, fight for your table.
Yeah.
And claim it, because they go quick. Last year, it was just a crazy amount of people. And if you don't get in the main hall, there's always the downstairs, and also the patio outside, weather permitting, of course. And then we'll kind of cycle people through as best we can throughout the night as people come and go.
Kerry Van Loosen from the German Club, Oktoberfest this weekend. Before I let you go, a quick mini lesson. German words or phrases we need to learn before coming. Go.
All right. You want to say, I'm Prosit, which is like, cheers to you, and Zum Wohl, and then that's another one to be to your health. And then ich möchte einen Schnitzel bitte. That would be, I would like a schnitzel, please. Or even they say ich mag dich, which is I like you. We don't usually say I love you in German to strangers. If you're buying somebody one of our gingerbread heart cookies, it would be like ich mag dich, like it's I like you, because you don't want to, you know, get too personal if you're buying someone a cookie that you don't maybe know necessarily. I think that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've given us a great lesson. And I know it's going to be a great time, so can't wait for Oktoberfest this weekend. Carrie, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Yeah, here comes the night that Jays fans are going to find out who the Blue Jays will play on Saturday. Yankees won last night. Series tied at 3 now. Do you care? Evan Bray?
Well, I kind of want the Red Sox to win. I think they're better. The bats of the Yankees scare me if the Jays are going to be playing the Yankees. The Yankees have got some strong hitters that could make that series
tough. Do you become a Jays fan now?
Yeah, I do. I'm not a diehard baseball fan through the regular season, but I mean, I remember watching with my grandfather back in the early 90s when they were winning the championship. So this is...
And your son, named after a famous baseball.
That's right. Cy, named after Cy Young. You're right.
And why Cy Young? Why was he a favorite of yours?
He happened to be on the front cover of a sports card magazine that I had when Cy was born. That's why.
Good thing it wasn't a Playboy magazine you had in front of you.
Could
have been a whole lot different.
Could have been interesting.
Well, okay. All right. So that's your baseball take. What's coming up on the show here? You're going to be talking typewriters?
Well, we are, because Tom Chalewski is a historian from Saskatoon, but he repairs old vintage antique typewriters, and he's become a pen pal with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, big into.
Collects them, right?
He collects them. And so he's done some repair work for Tom Hanks. So we're going to talk with him about that and why these typewriters are making a resurgence, because they are.
Well, growing up, you used a typewriter,
100%.
Right?
I used them at the police service when I first started there. Still typing out what we called the long form summons.
Yeah.
So it's.
I used to be able to do the 60 words a minute.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, because you took it in school,
right?
You
had to take it. That's
right.
You
had to.
Yeah.
And I became pretty good on the old typewriter.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah. I used all my fingers, too.
I was going to say, it looks like Hunt and Peck to me.
That's what I want to know. When you were using a typewriter as a cop, was it like the two?
Hunt and Peck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couple of fingers. I was quick, but I mean, I wasn't using proper form and etiquette, that's for sure. Anyway, from that conversation, we're going into open lines. What is the relic from your past that's making a bit of a resurgence?
Well, he's still alive and still on this show, Murray Wood. You know, I've known Murray.
Is he the relic renaissance that you want to talk about?
He's not in town today, I can say that.
He's still listening, I think.
Yeah. So, that'll be a fun topic.
I think so. Vinyl records, of course, video games. There's so many, even children's toys from our past, Greg, are things that my grandkids are playing with today. So it'll be good. We'll open up the phone lines for that later in the show.
Okay, so who's right out of the gate after the 8:30?
Sylvain Charlebois, you know him. He's the food professor from Dalhousie University. Yeah. And he talks about a few different things, including, is our Thanksgiving dinner going to be more expensive or less expensive
this
year?
I'll be curious about that.
Yeah.
But also, he's wanting to talk to you about the ostrich.
Well, I want to talk
to
him.
Tell everyone a real quick background, if you're hearing this for the first time.
There's a number of ostriches in BC at an ostrich farm that before Christmas were found to have the avian flu.
Yeah.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency ordered that the rest of the ostriches be culled, destroyed, to prevent it from spreading. And I'm telling you, Greg, this has taken on a life of its own. Activists, protesters.
I can't believe it.
People assaulting 72-year-old ladies.
Ridiculous.
Yes, it has gotten carried away. I do not understand it. If this was chickens.
Yeah, I don't care about the ostriches ever.
Well,
I really don't. It's like, if there's a problem.
Right.
Well, we've done this with chickens.
Some people are saying, well, retest them because they're no longer showing signs of having the avian flu. But experts say they can contain the strain and they can still be dangerous to spread it.
I don't know.
I just do not get it. It's a head scratcher to me.
Got to get your head out of the sand on this one.
You've been waiting to use that line.
I am really surprised this story continues to be as big. Yeah. And it's awful, as you said. You know, there's a woman that was hurt.
That's right.
But I just can't believe the story has grown the life it has.
I'm telling you, there's some people that are absolutely on the save the ostrich bandwagon. It's quite something. Anyway, so Sylvain, who talks about the importance of safety in our food chain, I'm curious to hear his take on the ostrich situation from BC.
Do you think they should save the ostriches?
No, I don't. And, you know, the other thing is, if there's an outbreak of the avian flu, the last thing you want to do is surround the pen the ostriches are in with hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, it's counterintuitive to what you're even supposed to do. It's, this is crazy.
Well, the more we talk about it, the more ridiculous it sounds to me.
Well, that's right. And watch the text line. We're going to get some hate texts on that one.
I bet we are. Oh, incoming now. We better take a break and read it. 727.